I'm here to talk about a Sputnik moment. Our nation is having a Sputnik moment. In late November, Energy Secretary Chu suggested that China's gains in the clean energy area should be seen as a Sputnik moment. Shortly thereafter, a former Reagan education official penned an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal saying that a recent international test score showed that as to education, we are in the midst of a Sputnik moment. At the same time, Senator Kerry was on Meet the Press, said we're having a Sputnik moment, and the president went to North Carolina and devoted an entire speech to describing this generation's Sputnik moment. Many others started using the phrase. David Brooks in the New York Times summed it up by saying it represents a pervasive sense that the nation is at a Sputnik moment where it either rises to face international competition or does not. So if you look at Google Trends, you'll see that the phrase Sputnik moment basically had no traction from 2003 to November 2010, and then, shall we say, shot up like a Sputnik rocket. Now, this phenomenon reflects many things, including the belief shared by about 65% of the public, according to an August survey, that America is a country in decline. But as many now analyze the meaning of this moment, they generally ignore what I think is a foundational question, which is, what are the table stakes? What are the requisite assets we need to successfully respond to this moment? And that's what I want to talk about today. Now, in 1957, when Sputnik went up, we had the necessary assets to respond: great research institutions, great engineers, political will and cohesion, financial capital, to effectively react to the threat we perceived that Sputnik represented. But today's world is very different. An important element of today's challenge was acutely described by the great business visionary Peter Drucker in 1999, when he wrote, "The most important contribution management needs to make in the 21st century is to increase the productivity of knowledge work and knowledge workers. The most valuable asset of a 21st century institution, whether business or non-business, will be the knowledge workers and their productivity. It is on the productivity of knowledge work, above all, that the future prosperity and indeed the future survival of developed economies will increasingly depend." And as Dorothy mentioned, knowledge work is the backbone of our economy now, and Drucker understood this. Now, the core task in such an economy is the task of knowledge exchange. Knowledge exchange is fundamental to what most of us do. We gather information, we analyze it, we act on it, and then through a feedback loop, continually revise courses of action based on new information. The way we do this has been completely transformed in the last two decades by three revolutions: the data revolution, allowing us to collect and provide trillions of data points previously unavailable; the computing revolution, analyzing the data, making tasks that once would have seemed like finding not just a needle in a haystack, but a needle in a galaxy of haystacks as common as finding the moon in the night sky; and the communications revolution, which allows us to transfer the data and the analysis anywhere, anytime, to anyone at speed and costs that really were totally unimaginable when, say, the grounds for the Rock and Roll Museum a few blocks away was broken 18 years ago. So this knowledge exchange revolution, it's not a high-tech phenomenon. It affects every sector of the economy. It's how Walmart became the largest retailer. It's how the largest manufacturing process in the country, Boeing's development of the Dreamliner, is being done both here in the United States and across many countries before the final assembly in Everett, Washington. It's vital to every construction project, from high rises to houses, and it's essential to farmers on tractors.